wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Dr. David Oyedebo, the presiding bishop of Winners Chapel International, to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppression of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet.
Love to have 5 gears in your car. You must engage it. Until you engage it, you don't move fast. The more you move the gears, the faster you go. You must engage. And as you engage this faith, your faith, I see prophecy come to pass for you in Jesus' name. How powerful are prophecies? How powerful are prophecies? So much has been said since the month began. Some addition to it. Number one, God speaks according to his almightiness and not our limitedness. God speaks according to his almightiness, not our limitedness. You know, sometimes you call people by name that they are not. Like ordinarily, you see the person, you say, it's not equal to that name. They call him prosperity. There's nothing looking like prosperity around him. But when it comes to God, he's called Almighty, not because they were looking for a name for him. Nobody named him. It's because that is what he is or who he is. So when he speaks according to his almightiness and not our limitedness. How mighty is God? Just to give you a light on that. How mighty is God? How mighty is God's mightiness, if you like? Number one, take note. It is limitless. There's no boundary with God. When it comes to God, there's no place he can't enter. There is no place God cannot enter. Have you heard it? People touching screens and receiving healing? Have you heard that before? People touching screens and receiving. That's how mighty he is. A little child was brought, the picture of the child was brought with all manner of gadgets on the child. I said, what kind of wicked devil? See, if you are too gentle, you won't settle. The devil is wicked. Scripture calls him so. He's not a friend of anyone. That is why we pray today that the wickedness of the wicked must come to an end. And all manner of gadget on a baby. And I saw the baby. I prayed for the baby and I asked that they place the picture of the baby across Papa's picture in my office. Now they came to share the testimony. I've even forgotten. I don't know. They have to describe. Somebody else has to come in to tell you that it is not man. It is God. Because man forgot. He even prayed. But God never forgot. He did the thing. Almightiness of God. No limits. We are the one that limits God with our thoughts. But God will no longer be limited on your behalf. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything to hand? No man can say that. Only God can say that. Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 27. How mighty is God's mightiness? He's consistent. While others change, he's consistent. Some people favor you today. Tomorrow they are the ones that will favor you. He's consistent. When it comes to God, he's consistent. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 is the same today. Yesterday and forever. He's steady. It is man that withdraws. God is steady. How mighty is God? He's universal. He's everywhere. At the same time, as he's blessing you here, he's blessing somebody in New York. Universal. God is universal. In Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35, the Bible says, God is not a respecter of person. In verse 35, he said, but in all nations, in every nation, he that feared God and walked righteousness is accepted with him. In all nations, in every nation. So never you think you will run to a glorious, in quote, nation and not need God. God will always be needed. God has never created man to be dependent on himself. Number four, how mighty is God's mightiness? Is durable. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Whatever God doeth shall be forever. Therefore, I pray for someone. Whatever God has given to you, no devil will snatch it away from you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God is unfailing. The fifth one. God is unfailing. He can never fail. We sing that song, but you must believe it. He can never, ever fail. He can never, ever fail. He can never, ever fail. Jesus is the same forever. He does not fail. If you fail, there's something you did wrongly. God can never fail. And as you stand with him, you will never fail. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Take note this morning how powerful our prophecies. Number two, God speaks according to his surpassing wisdom to perform. God speaks according to his surpassing wisdom to perform. The Almighty God is the all-wise God, the only wise God. So he does things according to his mightiness, his capacity, wisdom to perform. He will perform on your behalf in the name of Jesus Christ. God is a custodian of wisdom. That's why they said, if any of you lack wisdom, he said, let him ask. So if you don't have wisdom, because you didn't ask him. If God is the refinery of wisdom. He's the warehouse of wisdom. Every kind of wisdom you need or you will need in life is from God. The right wisdom. When you go after other people, you lose the blessing because man is full of error. But God's wisdom is the only wise God. And therefore, only him can give true wisdom. Wisdom of God is the highest form of wisdom. In John 3 verse 31, it said, he that cometh from above is above all. So therefore, he is going to be above all in wisdom. It's not just above all in capacity, but also in wisdom. John 3, 31. Take note that the existence, independent of God, is existence in the realm of foolishness. Every time you want to exist independent of God, you say, God, you are on your own. It will always lead to foolishness. Why life makes sense is because God is there. When you take away God from your life, nothing makes sense. When you take away God from your journey, nothing makes sense. But for you, everything will work for your good. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is not possible to be in tune with God and to function in foolishness. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 19, it said, the Lord by wisdom had founded the earth by understanding, and he established the heaven. He found the heart by his wisdom. Now, what is in the heart that you cannot get from him by wisdom? No wonder he said with wisdom, he said, house is built by understanding, it's established. So it's not enough for it to be built, it needs to be established. All you need God for all of that. You need all God for it. Wisdom established. Wisdom builds the house, and then by understanding, it's established. Whatever God has given to you shall be established in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. His ways are higher than our ways. He said, as the earth is to the heavens, so is his way higher than our ways. His ways, his thoughts are higher. So when you think you are at a crossroad, God is creating a bridge. When you think things are difficult, God is making a miracle. Now, when you see the molestation that flour go through, you will not want to eat cake. They mix and mix and mix, and you that doesn't know anything about it, we wonder, what are you mixing? Is it not enough? I can't even see the thing you are mixing again. It has disappeared. But yet, they are still mixing. They still mix. It passed through all of those stress. Then somebody eats it, and he's shaking his head. We're alone. You are eating cake, and only you are thanking God for cake. Why? Because it passed through that process. But you don't want to pass through process. You want to jump. No, it doesn't work that way. Pass through the process. Follow the process. And then when you come out of it, you already have your possession in your hand. That shall be your experience in Jesus' name. God's wisdom is unfathomable. It's unquestionable. Praise the name of the Lord. Take note number three, that God speaks according to his ability to perform. He doesn't say what he can do, and there is nothing he cannot do. The Bible made mention in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27, he said, for the Lord of hosts has proposed, and who shall disannul it? God has said it, who wants to turn it back? He said, and his hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? No one. No one can reverse what God has done. None can complete what God has started. If his hand starts it, only his hand can complete it. He is the author and the what? Finisher. He starts it, he completes it. Omni beginning, omni complete. That's who God is. Is that what? No one can assist him. One man tried to assist him. They said the ark wanted to fall in his mind. As he touched the ark, he died. Nobody resurrected him. The ark was there. In the presence of the ark, he died permanently. There was no resurrection for him. Trying to assist God. Don't attempt it. You can't assist God. You can only connect to the blessings of God. And as you connect, you will enjoy the blessings in Jesus' name. No one can start what he has not commanded to start. That's why you see some people start business, they fail. God has not commanded it. The day he commands it, he supports it. And when he supports it, nothing can stop it. Nothing will stop your miracle. Nothing will stop your change of level. No one can assist him. May the Lord grant somebody understanding. Now, how faith facilitates fulfillment of prophecy. Let's see how faith works. I begin by letting us know that the act of apostle was written because the apostles act. The act of apostle was written because some fellows called the apostles the act. If we act, something also will be written against your name. If you act, something also will be written as a testimony for you. Take note number one, how faith facilitates fulfillment of prophecy. Number one, faith is a test of to pass, to see any prophetic word come to pass. It is a test you must pass. No, whatever will be, must will be. That is why you are stranded. Whatever will be, will not be because the enemy is there. He said he's a thief, seeking for whom to devour. He's a thief. He's roars like a lion, seeking for whom to devour. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is why whatever will not be. There are things you can't afford to drop outside the gate, even though people are standing. You drop after the outside the gate and go for 1 hour, you come back, you won't find it there. Why you kept it carelessly? Don't keep your life carelessly. We live by faith. We live by faith. Faith is that test you must pass to see prophetic word come to pass. Yes, God has said it, but it's not enough. Somebody must believe it, and that is what settles it. In Numbers chapter 14, beginning from, let's take verse 13, beginning from 26 to 33. I'll just skip some scriptures. It was the story of the 12 spies that were supposed to go and spy the land of promise. That land was a prophecy. But some fellows needed to go. That is why it is said. Now, any faith that will make God absolutely responsible for the outcome of your life is irresponsible. Faith must move you to take steps. So 12 guys were sent. Go and spy the land. And they went. You know what happened? 10 of them came with one kind of report, negative one. And others, two, came with good reports. In verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, it said, and Caleb stilled the people. He silenced the people before Moses. The first set of people came and began to talk. He said, that land eats the people there. Have you seen such a land that eats people? Now, that's exaggeration. They exaggerated just to discourage others. Hear this. There are such people, generation of the 10 spies, that are everywhere today to discourage you. Don't just tell them anything. As soon as you tell them, you say, no, it's not you. You do that. You cannot do it. It's not possible. You should go and check. Go and check your temperament. You cannot. Some are even closer to you than a brother. They just kill the vision before the vision is born. Those fellows were like, we saw it. They described the land that they just went to spy. Condemned the process, forgetting that a prophecy was released. That's a promised land. God said it. But you know what God did? At the end of the day, they were not able to see it. That is why it's dangerous to doubt God. But the ones that believe that we are able, Joshua and Caleb, that believe that we're able, were the ones that saw it. May you see the promised land this year. You know God has said to his servant that there's a promised land. You might not be able to fathom the promised land, but there is one. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it that there's a promised land. It is dangerous not to believe it. Believe it. Lord, I believe there's a promised land. I don't know how it looks exactly, but I know you know it, and you will take me there. May God take you there in Jesus' name. In verse 33, he said, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come by the giant, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They minimized their life as small as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. How did they know that was a lie? You can only know in your sight that I look like grasshopper, but you can't know by their sight. That was the difference between this man and David. David saw Goliath and saw him like a dog. He looked at him and said, no, this one, I'll remove your hair today. Goliath was thinking, is it this boy talking? Or they are he was threatened by his speech. And he gave way. Every Goliath will give way for you. Where the spirit of faith is not in place, fear will take its place. Where the spirit of faith is not in place, fear will take its place. What you don't work at can never work out. What you don't work at can never work out. It takes the work of faith to see faith at work. It takes the work of faith to see faith at work. It takes the work of faith to see faith at work. The words of your mouth is a response of your faith. The words of your mouth is a response of your faith. Now, the gauge to your faith is your speech. Your language is the gauge to your faith. How do I know a man that has faith? I hear his word. I know if he's talking faith or talking jargon. Your response in the face of battle shows your position, the position of your faith. What a joy. Caleb stopped them from talking. He said, no, we are well able. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, see the reason why Caleb was bold enough to do that. Numbers 14, 24, it mentioned that my servant Caleb has a different spirit. And my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, may another spirit by the anointing come upon you today. Another spirit that will make you do the impossible, dare the impossible. Another spirit. Where people are turned down, you refuse to be turned down. You refuse to receive no answer. Lord, I believe in you. I know you make it happen. Another spirit. The man carried another spirit. You cannot have a different spirit and not have a different experience. You cannot have a different spirit and have... So don't commonize yourself. When you call yourself grasshopper, you become one. You remember the story of Adam? Whatever he called them. And so, and that same grace is on you, even better than that. Because Adam was in the days of law. Jesus has not come, no grace yet. And then Adam named them, it was so. So if you call yourself grasshopper, you don't discover you are jumping from one place without aim. That's how growth. You can't say grasshopper is going from here to there. He jumps there before he gets there. That shall not be you. So understand it, that you have a big goal by you. The 10 spies compare themselves to the problem. And the 2 spies compare the problem to the promise. The 10 spies compared themselves to the problem. Listen, look at the challenge. Look at giant, my God. They went to see giant and came back. That's all. But these other guys looked at the promise. They understood the one that brought them out of Egypt. That no, this man, this God cannot be ordinary. When you set your attention on the obstacle rather than the miracle, fear replaces your faith. There's an obstacle. Nobody said there's no challenge here. There's an obstacle. But you must look away from the obstacle, because as you look away, the next thing you see is a miracle. You must take your eyes away from the rent. If not, every time you want to pray, you feel down. Take your eyes away from that school fish. Put your eyes on God. Remember what he said? He said he will supply all your needs. Please, don't decide the one you can supply groceries, but when it comes to school fees, he can't supply. Not true. He said, I will supply all thy needs according to my riches in glory. The Lord will supply according to his riches in glory. So what is school fees? God is giving people mansions. You are talking about school fees. He can give you one time. Hear this. Ask God, live it. Whatever is your challenge that you desire God to intervene in, God will intervene speedily. Amen. Your amen can be louder than that. Use your spiritual eyes, not your natural eyes. Natural eyes is fixed on what you can see ahead. Physically. But when it comes to spiritual eyes, he's seeing through the word, what the word of God has said. If you look that way, you will enjoy the blessings of God. Take note, people of God, that we must engage faith-driven actions. That's number 2. We must engage faith-driven actions. We must engage faith-driven action. Number 1 was that faith is a test to pass, to see the prophetic word come to pass. Number 2, we must engage faith-driven actions. Actions of men invite the reaction of God. He said, as they went, the presence of God went with them. So it is your action that determines God's reaction. The woman with the issue of blood had it for 38 years, was nurturing it, was pampering it. People were giving her money perhaps. But one day she reacted, said, no. She went and did something made her faith to move. And then the reaction of God came to play by healing her. God will heal somebody in Jesus' name. Faith that is developed but not deployed will not deliver. Faith developed, you worked on your faith, work on build your faith, but you must deploy your faith. You must deploy it. Take note also that action is a switch of supernatural power. Now, if the switch is off, even though there's light, I don't know if it has happened to you before, sleep in the time, that's a bit earlier, and then you didn't switch on the light. And you wake up in the night and forgot that you actually switched off the light, and then you are suffering as if there's no light. Until you stand up to switch on the faith, until you switch on the switch, which is faith, you cannot enjoy supernatural power. The switch must be switched on. The switch must be switched on for you to enjoy the supernatural ability of God. You will see God in the name of Jesus Christ. Revelation without action equals to self-deception. Revelation without action. Hey, I know God. No, God said this. God said, I know what God said. But no action. Action must be applied to revelation. Action must be applied to revelation for you to see revolution. You want change? Now, if you want change, there must be action. You don't just fold your hands. You don't just fold, hey, God has promised me. God has promised me. If it's financial, you are looking and say, if you see investment, you must ask God, Lord, I want to do investment now. You don't stand there and think money will drop from heaven. There are things you must do. One day, I know things will change. Hey, things doesn't change that way. You must take, it is your action that God honors. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, it says, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let no arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. He weighs your action to determine his reaction. He weighs your action until he sees you moving in the right direction. He does nothing. So you must take action. Take steps. You want to marry, it's time to take steps. You want to do business, it's time to test. You don't just stand there and be wishing and looking at all the ladies and just wishing. Ah, this one is good, though. This one will be good for a wife. Just wishing, no action. You take action. You must approach a lady. If in case you don't know, you must. It's a must. You must take action. What you don't nurture, you can't enjoy. You want good marriage. You want good home. You must take action also. You must take step, relevant step that brings the blessing. Everything in the kingdom expects us to be responsible. As you get responsible, you enjoy the blessing in Jesus' name. Faith is not claiming promises, but accepting responsibility. Faith is not claiming promises. Hey, I covet. You see a fine car. Oh, you put your hand on it. La, 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 la. No, you must do something. Faith is not claiming promises. Don't just covet. You collect by actions. Faith is not claiming promises, but accepting responsibilities. Don't wait for situation to change before you change your behavior. It is your behavior that determines what comes to you. Don't wait for situation to change before you change your behavior. He said it's the definition of insanity to do the same thing the same way and expect a different result. If you failed previous year, it is time for you to change approach if you don't want to suffer reproach. Because when you fail again, it's no longer failure, it becomes reproach. It's like, no. You must change approach to end the reproach. Change approach. As a family, you didn't do too well last year, last 2 years. You didn't do too well. It's time for you to turn the report and say, come, what are we doing wrongly? Oh, yeah, let's write it down. That is what good organizations do that we celebrate. They sit down to check it. How did we do it last year? Where did we arrive? So if we must arrive differently, then you must sit down to change the approach. Praise the name of the Lord. Number three, we must be rest assured of the end result. Be rest assured of the end result. We must be rest assured of the end result. In Psalm 89 verse 34, he said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that is gone out of my lips. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that have gone out of my lips. God is not breaking his covenant. So what went wrong? You broke yours. It is when you broke your part of the covenant that affected what was supposed to come to you. Stand by the covenant. God's covenant is constant. Your utterance must be same. Say what God says, then you will see what he said you will see. You must speak positively. Until faith accepts responsibility, it will be denied possibility. You must speak positively. Until faith accepts responsibility, it will be denied possibility. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it said, "Let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience, and our bodies washed and with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." Verse 35. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward." Cast not away your confidence. Hold your confidence. It has great reward. May you enjoy the reward in the name of Jesus Christ. Take note that faith action is man's reaction against undesirable situation. Faith action is man's reaction against all undesirable situation. If you don't like what you are fed with, what do? You react. Even a baby knows that. In those days, parent group, we saw how our parents do feed babies. They put the baby in between the leg, and then the baby doesn't want to eat, and force the baby's mouth open, and then pour the thing there. Now, when the baby doesn't like the food, it shakes the head until they stop that. What the baby say? Hey, stop that. Stop that. It's not by force. It's not by force. So until you shake your head and say, stop, devil. Until you react violently, stop, devil. It will keep feeding you with the same thing. It will keep stuffing your neck with the same thing. If you don't like what the devil is giving to you, you must react. You are not helpless. Say, I'm not helpless. If faith does not settle you, nothing else will settle you. If faith does not settle you, nothing else, nothing else. Forget these vain promises. Nothing else. Come tomorrow. Nothing else. If faith cannot settle you, because we live by faith. We walk by faith. Everything is by faith. Faith in the settled world is what settles man. Faith in the settled world is what settles man. God rewards your confidence and not your inconsistency. You are there today, tomorrow you are not there. You are not steady. You can't decide the day the angel is going to bring it. That's one ridiculous thing. You can't decide. Angel, I'm not coming the other day. I won't connect the other day. So you keep it until I come. No. He has been sent with a date. And unfortunately, you don't know the date. Praise the name of the Lord. But I pray that your own portion will not elude you in Jesus' name. Contention of faith is what brings contentment in life. You must contend if you want to be contented. Praise the name of the Lord. What more? We must continue to treasure prophetic word to see them come to pass. When a word is said from the altar, please, you take it serious. Hold on to it if it concerns you. Because what you can't hold, prophecy you can't hold, you cannot enjoy. When a word of prophecy is released, you must believe it. This one is my own. I like this one. Lord, it must happen for me. You keep saying it until it sticks to you. Because what you can't remember, God will not do it. Why won't he do it? Because even if he does it, you won't remember. And what he wants is the glory. I've said this before over and over again, that God changes our story in order to get the glory. He changes your story. It's for glory. He wants glory. That's it. That's why he said, my glory will I not share with any man. I will give you, I will change your story. But when it comes to glory, please give me. If you don't give me, that is the end of your story. Now consider this, he that forget God, lest I tear into pieces, none to deliver. So he changes your story because he wants to receive glory. So if you can't remember prophecy, how will you remember that he did it? You will think it's nature. You think it's your goodwill. You think it's your good heart that brought it. Prophecy you can't retain, you cannot obtain. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning from verse 1, he said, I stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I reproach. Hear this. If you see it, no devil can stop you from having it. He told Abraham, he says, as far as your eyes can see, if you see it, no devil. The challenge of most of us is our picture. Our picture is blunt. The challenge is too much that you can't see the future. Step aside. Step aside. The challenge is too large that it's difficult for you to see. Inasmuch as you concentrate on the challenge, you will not see the miracle, sir. Look away from it. Pretend as if it doesn't exist. As you are celebrating, God knows he exists. Uh-huh. He knows. God knows, like I will say humorously, that God knows your account. Now, the airtime, the one you borrow, he knows you borrowed for MTN. He knows. That it's as serious as that. Emergency, etc. He knows all of that. So you're saying it is just to fulfill all righteousness. He knows it. He knows it. He knows your challenge. He knows your needs. So focusing on it is behaving as if God does not exist. You must not focus on it. Remove your eyes from it. You must know what he promised so you can make demand based on what he promised. Because demand you make that is not connected to the promise can be delayed. Know what he promised. It's just like going to the bank to withdraw what you don't have in the account. Now, because it's not there, it will be delayed. They might be able to give you about overdraft. Maybe you are qualified for it, but you will definitely be delayed. They won't just give you automatically. You'll be delayed because that is not what is there. So when you know what God has promised, there are so much, more than enough. If you know what he has promised, you enjoy it. You make your demand based on what is promised. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, he said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So make your demands based on those prophecies. And we must engage faith-filled thought to see prophecy fulfilled. You must engage faith-filled thought to see prophecy fulfilled. Life turns out in the direction of your thoughts. Some of us used to feel supernatural. I said, and I was thinking this thing will happen, and the thing is negative. I was thinking it's going to happen, and see, it has happened. You lose where to focus your thoughts. Turn your thoughts to the right things. Your thoughts can help your prayer or terminate your answer. How do I know that? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He said, now unto him which is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you ask or think. Ask or think. All there is an alternative word. In case you don't meet James, you can call Peter. That is James or Peter. I can't be angry when you call Peter because all is there. So when you pray, God answers. When you think, God answers. The challenge of most of us is this. When we pray, we use our thoughts to terminate the prayer. Your thoughts terminate prayer. It cancels it. You know the way you do division? Zero cancels zero. That's how our thoughts cancel things. So when you pray, you must support your prayer with your thoughts. That's why he says, if whatever is pure, whatever is of good report, he says, think on those things. You must align your thoughts to your prayer. That it must come to pass. I have prayed it. I have said it. It must come to pass the way I say it. You must be careful with what you say also. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he said, if you can say to this mountain, be that removed and cast into the sea, you have whatever you say. So your thoughts, your speech, very important. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy heart. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. He said, for they are life unto those that find their health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I wrote this, that the heart is the generator plant of your life. Service it with the word of God. The heart is the generator plant of your life. Service it with the word of God. You can't love a car too much and say, I won't service it. One day it will stop serving you. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, he said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Here it is, you are a step away from your thoughts. If you don't like the direction your life is going, change your thoughts. If you change your thoughts, your life will follow. Life turns out in the direction of our thoughts. No one gets to the top without their thoughts. Your thoughts is your navigator. Your thought is what? Your navigator. Have you imagined driving a car without a steering? Your thought is the steering of your life. It's driving you somewhere. If you turn it, no matter how anointed you are, you turn it off the road, it will have accident with your anointing. So you must use your thought and your anointing to get to your destination. You say, but carry anointing oil. The thing is flowing like Aaron, flowing to the beers of Aaron. And then you don't have a good thinking. Nothing's happened. You become a ridicule of Christianity. He carries anointing, yes, but his thought is wrong. Until your thought, your talk mixed together, it can bring a testimony. Your action, very important as well. May the Lord grant somebody understanding. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember that today is our covenant day of vengeance, and vengeance shall happen on your behalf. There are two sides of God, according to scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, he said, God kill it, and he make it alive. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 6. The same God, two sides of God. Just like every coin has two sides. There are two sides of God. He said, the Lord kill it and make it alive. And there are people that are too gentle to settle in this kingdom. The Bible says right from the days of John the Baptist up to now, until Matthew 11, that's 12. It said, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taken it by force. The only language the devil understands is violence. Oh, they say, devil, leave me, devil. No, he doesn't listen to that. Satan, Kai. You know what Kai means? Don't check the dictionary. It's not there. Satan, Kai. But Satan understands Kai. Stop that. I remember one time I shouted the Kai. When I saw my son, he was sick one time like that. I said, what is this? We pray. What kind of rubbish is this? How do I explain this? No, devil, stop that. And he understand it. He understand the violent faith. You are pampering the devil, and that's why he's still staying around. You determine what side of God you experience. You can go for the lamb. You can also go for the lion. The same God is a lamb and a lion. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, we saw vengeance of God there. The Bible says that same night, the angel of the Lord, he said that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of Israel, and 185,000, 185,000 people, one night. And what shocked me there was that he didn't need a host. He said that the angel of the Lord, may that angel be sent to your village in the name of Jesus. There are some forces that will not let you go. You need the reaction of this angel. It's the side of God you demand that you hear this. Hear it and understand it. Jesus prayed for his enemies. But don't forget, he came to die. Hello? That was his mission. He prayed for his enemies. He said, forgive them for they know not. Are you here to die? No. So I'm not here to die. I'm here to fulfill destiny. Therefore, who so need to go must go. For you to fulfill your destiny. Jesus came to die. That's why I said, forgive them. Somebody brought out knife to fight them. He said, no, I can say, ask for legion. These guys are working for my good. I need to go. But not you. The day Elijah called fire, God was still God. Killed 450 prophets of Baal, God was still God. He was still God. Righteous God. Faithful God. Therefore, if God says he wants to avenge, please allow him to avenge. Because the truth is, he needs your permission. If it is in your family, he will not need your permission from my own family. It is your permission for your family. If you say, Lord, forgive all of them, he will forgive them. But your children will fight them again. Because the witch you don't kill. Now, that's why I say, suffer no witch to kill. Witch produce witches. More wicked witches. You heard that story? They said he went and brought more wicked witches. It must be his family of witches. He said, bring more wicked devils. His uncle and auntie that were devils, he brought them. So you must understand that the battle of vengeance you are fighting, that you are not fighting for yourself, but for your generations. You know what he told Abraham in the book of Genesis? He said, these that bless you, I will bless. The one that curse you, I will curse. So God curse. God can curse. God can do what? He can curse. So if God is cursing, who are you to say you won't curse? Any force that is fighting against your destiny, may they remain cursed in the name of Jesus. Vengeance means infliction of injury. It means violent revenge. It is retaliation against the previous acts. They took opportunities that belong to you. May God fight for you. They stole what belongs to you. May God arise on your behalf. God cannot and will not let the wicked to go unpunished. So vengeance is cooperating with God to punish the wicked. I've not heard that before. Please write it. I want to see it again. What did I say? Vengeance is what? Cop with God to punish the wicked. Vengeance is what? Cooperating with God to punish the wicked. Yeah. Is somebody ready to cooperate? Christians do not need to carry gun, but we have mounts. That mount is to fight. There are times you will always need it. It is the powerful force to execute vengeance. In Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17, the Bible says, no weapons that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee, many tongues will rise. People struggle in life because tongue grows. Give you an example of tongue rising. Power past power is this testimony. He said, after the service of Tuesday, January 10th, I went to bed and had a dream. I saw myself standing by wall, and charging towards me was a huge goat that wanted to smash me against the wall. Immediately, an invisible force lifted me up, and the goat smashed its headlong against the wall, and I woke up. Thereafter, I engaged in vengeance prayer against my enemies. He said, the next morning, not 1 week later, the next morning, a woman in my neighborhood came to my house with a big sore on her head and told me that she was the goat that attacked me in the dream. She further said, I did not know that you are not ordinary. From today, may the supernatural nature of God in you emerge in the name of Jesus. Now, only God knows what will have happened if the woman has smashed this person. Several times they've stabbed some people in the dream. Several times they've collected things from the dream. Hear this. Every time you see such satanic thing, you rise up in battle. If you don't know how to pray vengeance prayer, you will lose so many important things. It says that, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. God is not condemning you, first condemn. Then God will support it. Thou shalt condemn. So you are the one to condemn it. You see situation around your family not going well. You must condemn it if you must enjoy peace. What you don't condemn will remain. Until the God of vengeance show up, the wicked may never give up. But why vengeance? Because if you don't know the purpose of a thing, you might not maximize it. Why vengeance? Number one, vengeance is a vital aspect of God's end time agenda. He left it. People should be saved some part. At a point, the wicked that refuse to be saved must be dealt with. Vengeance is a vital aspect of God's end time agenda. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion. Hear this. Life may not be comfortable until vengeance is executed. Life may never be comfortable. Have you asked yourself why innocent people that are good will die? Do you think God likes it? No. The forces of the wicked does not want them to go beyond now. That's why you must react. You must be on fire so that the devil does not come around your abode. He said to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, meaning beauty has something to do with vengeance. The beautification of your destiny, until vengeance comes to play, you might not enjoy the same. I see God avenging you in Jesus' name. Number two, why vengeance? We serve a God of vengeance. That is who he is. He knows how to do it. That's why we read at the beginning, he killeth and maketh alive. I have shared this testimony before. A girl was doing too well, and then the business studies teacher felt this girl was doing too well, grade 9 girl. Then she afflicted the girl so that she can't come to school again. You are the teacher. The girl shouldn't pass your course again. That is wickedness of the wicked. The wicked is wicked because he's wicked, not because you did something wrong. Whatever is going down, I decree vengeance will take place. You will rise up in the name of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 94 verse 1, he said, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. That is who your God is. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 3, I mentioned earlier, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And if you look at that scripture, help us with Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. He said, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I don't know English too well, but the way it is written, it's like a continuous thing. There's a semicolon there, meaning, if I must do the last part, and indeed shall the families of the earth be blessed, if I must do the last part, this is blessing and curses must take place. I don't know if I'm correct. Grammarians should know better. Now, it was not a stress statement, meaning, if this thing must come to pass, if the families of the earth must be blessed, some fellows must be blessed, some must be cursed. Because without the curses, the blessing will not be enjoyed. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, because I am the Lord. Because I have decided to curse them that curse you. I have decided to bless you. Number three, Jesus taught us to pray vengeance prayer. So you can't be more holier than him. Jesus taught us to pray vengeance prayer. In Luke chapter 18, 1 to 8, he was telling of the parable of this widow that came to an unjust judge. And judge, unjust judge means he doesn't do anything without money. It's unjust. He doesn't do anything for the sake of truth. It's unjust. That is who he is. And a widow came to him to avenge me of my adversary. The man said, I'm unjust. So you don't know, you don't know me. I'm unjust. However, this man, because of her continuous coming, he said, this woman will weary me for her continuous coming. And you know what? He avenged her. Now Jesus was saying, if an unjust judge can do that, what about me, a righteous God? There is no way you call on a righteous God to avenge you that he won't avenge you. That's why I know today that God will avenge you of your adversaries in the name of Jesus. What's more? Number four. The Holy Ghost is a spirit of vengeance. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. We mentioned earlier the spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Holy Ghost, when it's upon you, vengeance takes place. In Acts chapter 13, verse 8. Acts chapter 13, verse 8 to 11. I paraphrase there. There was this story of a man called Elymas, the sorcerer. This man was turning the hearts of people away from the faith. He was telling them things that will turn them away from God. And Paul the apostle, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, decreed. He said the blindness shall come upon Elymas the sorcerer. And instantly blindness come. I decree whosoever is in your family, anyone that is around your life that does not want you to go forward, may blindness strike them in the name of Jesus. Now when somebody is blind, it's easier to confess. They will get blind for them to confess. Praise the Lord. Number 10. The devil is not, I'm mentioning number 10 because the remaining will be in the first service. 4 or 5 if you like. The devil is not a gentleman. The only language he understands is violent. The only language he understands is violence. It's arrived from the days of John the Baptist until now, the 21st day of February 2021. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Up to now means till today, till tomorrow. And the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. If you don't take it by force, you lose it by choice. So you must take it by force so that you will not lose the blessing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he goes to and fro like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. He wakes up in the morning like you wake up, only to go and seek whom to devour. But it shall not be you. It shall not be the members of your family. But we must cry out for vengeance on all the enemies of our soul today. We must cry out for vengeance. Lord, avenge me of my adversaries. Avenge me of the enemy. Because if you don't cry out, nothing can change. And afterwards, we look at the anointing as an instrument of vengeance. The anointing is an instrument of vengeance. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27 says, for the Lord of hosts propose a thing, who shall disannul it? In Psalm 7, verse 9, it says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish it just for the righteous God. At the righteous God tried the hearts and the reins. As God judges our enemies, we shall begin to flourish like the palm tree in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember the call to worship we read earlier in Psalm 92, verse 10. It said, but my God shall anoint, my God shall exalt my own as the own of a new covenant. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Verse 11 says, my eyes also shall see my desire of my enemy, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Verse 12, it said, the righteous shall flourish. Meaning, until the enemy is judged, the righteous may not flourish. Rise to your feet. You lift up your voice and pray, Father, let every wicked force that is against my destiny be visited today with divine vengeance. Lift up your voice and pray right now. Lift up your voice and pray. You are praying for yourself right now. Lord, every force that is against my journey, my breakthrough in life, be visited with divine vengeance. Remember, it's our turnaround era. Lift up your voice and pray. Every department of my life that the enemy is contending with, my my business, my career, my family. Lord, visit them with divine vengeance. My father, visit with divine vengeance. Lord, visit my adversary with divine vengeance. Lift up your voice and pray. Oh, Father, you are the one that does vengeance. Oh, God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show yourself. Lift up your voice and pray. Oh, God, to whom vengeance belongeth. Show yourself on my behalf, on the behalf of my family. Show yourself strong. Is somebody praying? Oh, Father, I decree vengeance today. I decree vengeance today. I decree vengeance today in the name of Jesus Christ. My Lord, Sekete, vengeance against satanic traps. Vengeance, 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 vengeance. Arise, O Lord, and let all my enemies be scattered. Arise, O Lord, and let all my enemies be scattered. Arise for my sake, Father. 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 In the name of Jesus. Arise for me. Arise for me. Arise for me. Arise for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I decree that the God of vengeance will fight for you in the name of Jesus. Whosoever is harboring evil against your destiny, may God arise for you in the name of Jesus. Forces of wickedness that say you will not enjoy the fruit of your labor, I decree the vengeance of the Lord rests upon them in the name of Jesus. Your hands must be clean, your heart must be clean for vengeance to come to pass. You are here this morning, you are not born again, either you're in church physically or you're connecting online. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Carry your right hand now and place it on your chest as I lead you in this prayer. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Lord, I know you died for me and you rose that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me in Jesus' mighty name. You pray that prayer with me. I want to pray for you right now. Just raise your hand up. I want to pray for you wherever you are. I decree the right hand of God, that is power, rest upon you in the name of Jesus. You will walk in the light of his word all the days of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Get a bottle of oil in your hands right now. As we get set to anoint ourselves, it's anointing for vengeance. Get set, get a bottle of oil right now. As you get ready to anoint yourself. It is after the anointing that vengeance is fully established. Vengeance is fully established. The Bible says, my eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies. Why? He said, but my own shall thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. You have been anointed before. A fresh oil is coming on you in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, then in verse 12, he said, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Therefore, I decree by the anointing, you will enjoy the blessings of God. Every force that is against your family, your business, your career, please help somebody with the oil. Every force that is against your career, your business, your family, I decree that the vengeance by the anointing will crush them in the name of Jesus Christ. It is the anointing for vengeance, as God's servant has called it. Therefore, so shall it be for you in the name of Jesus. Forces that are fighting your marriage, forces that are fighting your breakthrough, I decree the vengeance of the Lord rest upon them. Whatever is challenging your health right now, as you are anointed today, that satanic force leaves your body forever. Every force that is raising the reason for struggle, for pain, for shame, I decree by the anointing the same is crushed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Place the anointing on your head and begin to decree what you must see this season. What you must experience this season. Begin to decree right now. Begin to decree. Begin to decree. It is what you say that you see. It is what you say that you see. Begin to decree your establishment in favor, in help from above. Begin to decree. You will hear a news this week. You will hear that news this week that your adversaries has been judged. La rocha kapalabo shikete. Le blado shakata palabalabata. Le close shikete. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Ela rosa tapala rosa tale brado shikite. Le cross sototo le brado shakata. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. When the enemy of Jehoshaphat were judged, there was peace round about. I decree peace round about for you in the name of Jesus. Whatever has sat on your promotion, hear this week you will hear a good news. Whatever has sat on your advancement this week, you will hear good news. Now, they will pick you from behind, from nobody, and place you in front in the name of Jesus. The God of this commission will go ahead of you and cause every crooked path to be made straight. The oil on your head will call favor. It will call advancement. It will call promotion. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together for Jesus and please be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You are worshiping us for the first time on a Sunday morning like this. We must pray for you before we shut down in this service. Wherever you are, this is your first Sunday here worshiping with us in this church. We want to pray for you. Wherever you are, please, let's see you rise to your feet. Remain standing wherever you are. This is your first Sunday here. Just rise to your feet. Somebody rise up. We want to pray for you. There's a blessing of the house. Put your hands together for Jesus Church as they rise wherever you are. This is your first Sunday here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you and increase you. You will not see shame in Jesus' mighty name. Please, let's be reminded that this week, our covenant, our prayer continues. 6 a.m. is the time, and on Saturday, it is 7 a.m. The Lord bless you as you come. Midweek service holds on Wednesday. The time is 5:30 p.m. We have the books of the month and other books there that you can take advantage of. Remember that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So stock off yourself. I said you should service. Your life is the generator of your destiny. You must service it with the word of God. The Lord bless you as you do that in Jesus' name. Home cell fellowship holds every Saturday. The time is 5 p.m. The Lord bless you as you connect. Good news. Next Sunday is our end of month Thanksgiving and dedication service. Are you glad to hear that? Praise the Lord. And it's also our covenant day of marital breakthrough. You will break forth on every side in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. He will cause his face to shine on you in Jesus' mighty name. Rise to your feet, everybody, as you lift up your voice to heaven and give him thanks, give him praise for his blessings that you have received in this service. Give him thanks. Can you appreciate the God of vengeance with understanding? Oh, thank you, because all things are turning for my good. Everything is turning for my good. Everything is turning for my good. Everything is turning around for my good. Thank you, precious Father. Glory and honor be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The enemy will clear off your way this week. Wicked forces will clear off your way this way. Now, those that said they won't let you go, they will see forces pursuing them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every evil nightmare, I cancel today. The effect is canceled today. Goodness shall be your portion. Mercy shall be your portion. In Jesus' precious name we pray. You are blessed. Together, let's share this goodness. Want to go? Surely. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Welcome to 2021, your year of supernatural turnaround. Then expect turnaround to become your new identity from henceforth. Amen and amen.
You have been empowered for all-round victory, exploit, and unquestionable dominion over all life challenges. The end has come to all struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimonies with us by calling us on 031-301-6266 or 074-575-9240. You can equally send us an email to wmadaban@yahoo.com. Best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at in Durban. Our services hold on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. for English and Zulu interpreted services, and on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. God bless you.